Well, thank you, Lily Haight. You are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and this is Brewocracy Now. It's Thursday afternoon. It is our normal chat with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, and he has a special guest with him. And I take it that we'll be talking about money and finances, where we are, where we're going. And with that, I will give it to John. Let him do the introductions. Hi, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you? It's great to see you again. This is kind of the highlight of my week, so I'm glad to see your smiling face. Could I also introduce Nora Mitchell, who's with us today? It's our special guest. Nora is our Finance and Administrative Services Director. She's been with the city, you're going to have to correct me, Nora, at least 5.5 years, maybe more. Seems like more than that these days, given what you've been up to and the challenges. But Nora's with us today to shift the conversation to another topic with Engage PT. And as listeners likely know, we've been having special guest department directors from the city to come talk about specific initiatives that they're leading that require a decision in the next year or so by city council. We've gone through golf course, library strategic plan, Discovery Road bikeway, public safety and law enforcement. And today we're here to decode a bit about the budget and a bit about annexation. So welcome to Nora Mitchell. Hi, Nora.
Hey, John. Hi, Tim. Yeah, John, I've been with the city almost 6.5 years now.
Oh,
so it's
my apologies.
It's been a great run. So glad to be here and to join you on air.
Now, I have to share with the listening public that Nora and her team are obviously very savvy with their financial wizardry. And even despite their collective decades of experience, this is a very different year than other years we've gone through. So maybe the first thing to kind of crack into here is, you know, the impacts of COVID are widespread across small businesses, schools, kids, families, nonprofits. And, you know, the city's not spared from that. So what we're doing right now is actually preparing a proposed city manager budget, working with our departments and really through Nora's stewardship and leadership to firm something up relatively quickly. So maybe, Nora, you can just give us a sense of the timeline and how tricky that is and kind of what we're wrestling with right now.
There is a lot of regulation from the state of Washington around our timeline. So we have an adopted budget that needs to be in place by the end of the calendar year. So we're working towards that end, but there's also other benchmarks that we have to hit along the way. We are working towards public hearings that will occur in November. So November 2nd is the first public hearing reading on the preliminary budget, as well as the property tax public hearing. Prior to that, the next really touch that the council will have on the budget is October 12th, where we will have a workshop to kind of talk about where we are in the budget process and next steps. But yeah, John alluded to the fact that it's been a challenge with COVID. COVID has impacted our ability to do some of the public engagement in more personal settings that we had envisioned at the beginning of this year when we first started talking about how we could reinvent the whole budget process. But it's also had a big impact on the city's financial well-being in terms of the revenues that are received by the city, largely in the area of city sales tax, business tax, and development services fees. So we've been grappling with it since March, kind of monitoring where we think we were going to go and what projected revenue shortfalls would look like. And that's been a real challenge for us.
I guess I'll also add, too, that, you know, the difficult efforts early on in March, you know, the team did a really kind of phenomenal job anticipating what that revenue shortfall would look like for the rest of this year. And I, you know, it, to some degree, you know, it's definitely expertise and skill, and I'd say a little bit peppered with some luck, because it's so unpredictable, the landscape of what's going to happen with movements of people visiting and what they're spending and what the federal government's stimulus packages look like. So it's really kind of hard to shoot in the dark here. But you know, the efforts we took early on in March, which were challenging, to furlough 52 part-time and full-time staff, to really brace for the impacts at the end of the year, have really kept us in the black for 2020. And so it's with a lot of credit to the finance team to have the foresight and the understanding to kind of get that revenue forecast right and be able to get us to the end of this year in solid financial position. Of course, 2021, it's another exercise, and here we are standing at the precipice of what does that look like? What can we estimate? We're not going to get it exactly right, but you know, I think we're trying to do a couple things here with the budget for 2021. One is to squeeze through the needle and make sure that we can, you know, propose a balanced budget for 2021. The second thing is a bit more challenging, is to really think about our long-term financial sustainability. You know, and one of the issues is, you know, we've got some, you know, restriction on property tax, for instance, at a 1% cap every year, even though valuations go up actually quite a bit more than that recently. So, you know, we have perhaps additional expectations with diminished resources to actually meet those expectations. So what we need to do over the coming years is figure out, you know, how do we reset, you know, our approach so that we're financially sustainable for decades and not just able to squeeze through 2021.
And this might be a good time to interject that if you'd like to join this conversation, excuse me, if you have a question specifically, if it has something to do with finances and specifically Port Townsend, you can always give a call, 360-215-7270, and I'll get you on the air with these two fine folks from Port Townsend government. Nora, 6.5 years in that position, that's like dog years. I would think that would be a very, it's a very difficult position. And when you do these forecasts, as John said, that takes a great deal of expertise, but I expect there's also a little bit of voodoo and tea leaves in there when you're looking at 2021 specifically. I see that we have somebody has joined us on Zoom, but I'll throw this out to you, and you can answer it whenever you feel like it, frankly. One thing I noticed in the leader recently, or just today, was that the possibility of reductions to the ferry. And my question to you would, how do you see that impacting us? I see two possible scenarios there, cutting way back to one boat, and the other is more likely a poison pill, but to eliminate completely. So just throw that out there for your consideration.
Yeah, well, look, I'll take a first stab at that. And Nora, as is usual, comes in and makes sure I don't say anything off the rails here. But I think, you know, I think we've been here before, you know, and this is before I got here, but we've had these kinds of impacts, you know, in our sites, you know, multiplied also by, you know, Hood Canal Bridge closure. And so it's quite clear how dependent this community is on the flow across our transportation system statewide, and that includes the ferries. So, you know, this is an issue that caught our attention quite quickly because here we are again. And I think it speaks to the complexity of budget forecasting and the fiscal reality for Port Townsend. You know, sales tax is one of those things that contributes a sizable amount to our general fund. And our general fund is the thing that funds everything from police to a lot of development services to finance to administration to legal to parks. And I mean, there's quite a bit that funds. So what we need to be aware is that a closure of a route will likely restrict, you know, the movements of people into Port Townsend. Whether you like it or not, we seem to be at least partially dependent upon the events and the tourism and the influx of money that brings to our community to pay for the services we depend on. And so, you know, it's anticipated that the impacts of a closure or a massive reduction in route or service would impact us, and not just the city, but, you know, us as a community. So we don't know exactly how much and to what degree. And so that's why I've banded together with my colleagues at Port, PUD, and County to have a discussion about how we can work together to better assess those economic impacts. And I think that's what was in the leader this morning. And I know between Aaron and Philip and Kevin and I, we've been discussing how we how we ask a quick question, get some quick economic analysis, and work that through, for instance, with our chamber. I believe it was a discussion this morning with some folks at the chamber of what those impacts are and how we both prepare, but also think about providing the state with perhaps some economic analysis that can help them make a better decision about what impacts that they're going to propose. It's early days. I think it should be said that those aren't official scenarios yet from the state. Those are, you know, they're sizing up significant revenue shortfall themselves. Nora, is there anything I'm missing there that you want to jump in on?
No, I think that you're right in saying that we don't know what the economic impacts would be, but just from this short-term closure that we've experienced with COVID, we know that we have seen drop-offs in sales tax revenues, lodging tax revenues, things that the tourists and people who come through our town help drive additional dollars that fund some of the services that we can provide throughout the year. So I do think it's important for us to continue to monitor that situation and try to address it so that it doesn't continue to drive revenue down in ways that we don't want to see happen.
Yeah.
Well, and another question that comes to mind, do we have any analysis of how the Open Streets Initiative has impacted the local economy, good, bad, indifferent, and any thoughts about the continuation of that initiative?
Yeah, thanks, Tim. You know, I'll take a crack at that. And I think we were lucky to have Steve King with us last week, and he'll be coming back again for a couple other initiatives that are directly led by Public Works. You know, we're at the point where we're assessing the effectiveness of Open Streets, and you know, it's kind of hard to tell. If we did something like this in a, I guess I'll put in air quotes, you know, normal year, it'd probably tell a clearer story. But because we're doing that partly in response to COVID, you know, it's really hard to say. But I can say that at least the feedback we've largely heard from the public and from some of our partners, including PT Main Street, has largely been positive. I think the question is, what does that look like in the wintertime? And part of what the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group discussed at a special meeting not too long ago, and something that both the Board of County Commissioners and also City Council agreed to, was dispersing some of those federal CARES Act dollars locally to community group ideas that were generated by six community groups that were self-forming and self-governing. And one of those things was looking at what kind of additional materials might be needed to actually operate, say, in partnership with the Streeteries and Parklets project. So tents, heaters, you know, sanitization, you know, to make it easier for local businesses to stay open in the wintertime with additional constraints like weather and temperature that weren't as big a deal during the summertime. And I think that's currently what our thinking is about. How do we make that work? Because those two bodies did decide to allocate some of that funding to some of the equipment that could make it possible.
I think I would just add that one of the challenges we have in revenue forecasting and also understanding the impact some of those decisions make is that we receive our revenues for sales tax in particular 2 months in arrears. So the sales tax we most recently recorded in September was actually for July. So we won't really know the impact of the decisions made in the latter part of July and August until the next month or two has elapsed. So we're hoping that we will see some pickup from that in terms of the local revenues.
Yeah. Thanks, Nora. That's an excellent point. Hey, Tim, I do recognize there's somebody here with us on the Zoom call. I'm happy to maybe take a question or a comment if you'd like, or just feel free to enjoy the ride. Just don't want to drown out those who want to ask some questions. And as the mute, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Yeah, hi you guys. Thanks for being on again. I didn't know what the topic was today, so I'd actually emailed a few questions, but they may not be pertinent for what you're talking about right now. But actually, one of my general questions, though, John, was, and basically to give us a little bit of an update, short update, on the initiatives that the city is working on this fall that don't get as much coverage. So, you know, the 5-6 other initiatives like extending the sewer line, the water system, et cetera. Maybe just give us a little, 1 minute brief, if that's possible, on those projects, because they don't seem to be getting that much at the moment.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. I think you really hit the nail on the head here. I mean, the whole point of us trying to do this, collectively as an Engage PT campaign is to link things together and to make sure that things do get airtime. So I really appreciate the steer and the question there. I guess I'll just say a couple quick things, and then I think there's a bit of a punchline that Nora can help us with. We've talked about those issues like golf course and library and Discovery Road and public safety in this broadcast the last 4 weeks. The some of the other issues are a little bit more on a slower burn, and it's not that they're unimportant, but that their timeline doesn't require an immediate decision by council. So, for instance, the mill agreement, I could say we're in negotiations with the Port Townsend Paper Company, and really doing a lot of work on assessing, making sure we have the right data, we understand the line, and we have regular conversations with management and leadership at the mill about how we're progressing that. So, it's not like we're not paying attention to it, but a lot of the work we're doing now is building up to a broader community conversation that'll help, be part of the process at the right time. And the same thing with the water line. So the sewer system outfall, has been paused mainly because the State Department of Ecology has needed a little bit of extra time, I think, during COVID to get to their role in that permitting process. And so we've said, great, this is still important. It's still an initiative that we need to discuss with the public, but we don't need it in such immediacy. The recovery and resilience conversation comes back again as part of the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group. And actually, I could say maybe for the first time that KPTZ has agreed to broadcast a special meeting of that group with a guest lecture from Michael Schumann, who's going to be talking about community economics. And largely that meeting is mainly meant to focus on what Michael has to say with some Q&A afterward. That's 5 p.m. on October 27th. And that's kind of the next check-in point around the recovery and resilience piece of work. But I think finally, there's this thing that maybe we should take a few moments to decode. And that's, what is this annexation thing? And I think to your point that, that's something that's been largely under the radar and is connected to the budget. So maybe I'll just see if Nora can find a way to, what is the issue of annexation, and actually to speak some words about a survey that I think we launched just moments ago.
Yeah, so the budget process, which I mentioned, was fairly regimented in terms of its timeline. It also includes a public hearing on the property tax assessments or levies that we will implement each year. And so that is also going to be held, a public hearing will be held on property tax levy on November 2nd. And as part of that, as we go through the property tax assessments, as John mentioned, the city is limited to a 1% increase over the last levy amount, or the highest lawful levy amount. It gets really complicated when you start using all the lingo, but essentially it's a 1% increase over what we levied the previous year. The caveat with this whole thing about annexation is that we originally, back in the 2018-19 years, had a levy, general fund levy, that 50% of that was allocated to fund fire services. So there was a fire levy lid lift, an EMS levy, and then the fire department was getting a 50% of our general levy. When we annexed into the East Jefferson Fire District, that EMS levy and the fire levy went away, and those are now being levied by the fire district. But the general fund levy is still able to be utilized. The city council adopted a framework that would, and an agreement with East Jefferson, that would limit our ability to levy that additional amount. It was actually about $900,000 of additional property tax capacity. That becomes what we refer to as bank capacity. And the first year we were to levy none of that. So that was last year, 2020. 2021 becomes the first year that the council agreed that they would potentially levy up to an additional $300,000 of that banked capacity. That's the agreement also sort of highlighted what those special projects or purposes that could be used for. So that's part of what we're launching in our survey, is to get some idea if people would like us to consider levying that additional money, and if so, for which projects. The limitations are that we could levy that money to be used for street projects, parks and recreation projects, these would be capital projects, affordable housing projects, and a reduction in the utility tax payments for the residents of Port Townsend. So those are some of the things that it could be used for. And the question is 2020 levy for 2021 tax payments that the residents will make, is that something we want to implement? So that's going to be an ongoing question. And as John mentioned, we did just launch on our website a link to a survey, so that people can weigh in on that. Also has links to more information on annexation, a section from last year's budget on the property tax, which will hopefully give some good background information on that process.
There you go. You hear it here first. That's decoding annexation and some resources to boot. And you could just go to cityofpt.us/engage, and all that information and those, you know, to the listener's point, the two pager on each of those initiatives and their timeline are also available. And on the budget and annexation topic, you'll see that survey right there. It should take you about 5 to 10 minutes. And it actually has quite a substantial list of, as Nora says, those street capital, parks and trails capital, or affordable housing and utility tax reduction items that would be eligible. And the question to the public is, you know, is this the year to, well, I guess next year, do we make the decision now this year to levy those funds in 2021? If we don't, they don't go away. Next year, we have the ability to actually double that amount to $600,000. And next year, we would ask the same question. Is this a good year to do that at $0 or at up to 600? This year, we can tap into a third of it.
Well, I really want to thank you for clarifying that annexation is something that has always been mysterious to me. And it actually, both of you have made it quite simple. Although I don't think this is the last time we'll be speaking about this subject, especially when I hear the list of the available or the potential projects that this money can go to. Somehow I have a feeling we may be speaking about this again. We have about 5 minutes left with Nora, last name, oh my goodness, Nora Mitchell, Finance and Administrative Services Director, one of the most important positions, I'm sure, in this small town, and Mr. John Morrow, of course, our Port Townsend City Manager. I have a question for Nora. We are not the only ones that are in uncertain times. The state itself, I can't imagine being in that position and trying to draft a budget, especially with COVID, what's happening at Boeing. There's a lot of things here that can impact the state of Washington, and most of them negatively over the next year. What happens? How does this affect you? When do you know from the state whether our balance sheet here will be affected by the larger picture with the state of Washington?
Mm-hmm. Good question. The city does receive some state shared revenues that help with our general fund revenues. For example, liquor excise tax and some other taxes that the state can determine how much they're going to share of that with individual cities. And a lot of those for us are population based. So we don't get a large chunk, but it's certainly dollars that we would miss if they weren't coming to us. So those numbers have been set for 2021. And of course, the state is on a different calendar year than we are. So they could, their budget for next year, which will be 2022, will begin in July of 21. And so they could make changes at that time that would affect us, and we'd be halfway through our budget year. So it is a little bit of a challenge to keep up with that and understand what that means and if we're going to make immediate changes if the state should cut some of our shared revenues.
Is there anything, I know this is a bit of a cliche question, but I think it's somehow appropriate given our times. Is there anything that really keeps you up at night? Anything that could happen? I mean, this is 2020 and we can't rule out anything. In your position, what do you fear the most? What keeps you up?
Well, right now, I think the biggest concern is some of the information that we're receiving and myself and Finance Manager Tony Hillman, who's also a great asset to our city. We're hearing from our peers and from economists that this recovery may be more protracted and slower than the 2008 recession. And so we're concerned because we want to be able to provide all the services that the residents of Port Townsend would like to receive, but we're challenged with the limited resources that we have. So it's how do we make that work, and what do people really want and expect from us? So I think that's one of the things that we would like to work on addressing as we move into 2021 is, can we start having that conversation around financial sustainability for the long term for Port Townsend? And what does that mean for all of us? And what do we expect of our local city government? So I think it doesn't always keep me up, but it certainly has me thinking all the time about how do we improve and make things better for our city.
And Tim, I can't make that any better statement. That's just right on the, you know, on the head. But I can make the connection to this broadcast in your time and say that community conversation begins now, you know, and the way that we navigate collectively as a community through whatever challenge is going to come our way. If we know what our collective priorities are, we have open channels for civil, respectful dialogue about differences of opinion, then I'm convinced we can get there, you know. But if we don't, then it's just going to be more difficult. So I'm really encouraged and really grateful to KPTZ for letting us have this conversation publicly.
And we're grateful for you to be here because, as Nora said, it's very difficult during these times to collect that information that normally I think maybe we had taken a little bit for granted, that community participation. Can you repeat again the budget and annexation initiative, how people would be able to look at that? Interesting times. I think one thing that we know, the city of Port Townsend won't be buying a round of beer for all of its citizens. This is probably out of the question this year and maybe next. I'll wait. But we have 1 minute left if you can tell us all how to get to that initiative.
Yeah, sure. You could just go to cityofpt.us/engage. That'll take you to the Engage PT website. And then budget and annexations on the top left. And all you got to do is click on that and the survey comes out as a bright blue box. And like I said, it's about 5 to 10 minutes of your time. A little bit of reading about the kind of the key issue. But look, just give it a quick look and some pretty simple questions about what your priorities might be. So please go check that out. It'll be up for maybe a couple of weeks and then we'll have to evaluate the information and come back with a proposal.
And John?
We'd love to hear input from people at the public hearings on November 2nd and then again public meetings November 16th on both the budget and property tax. So please feel free to participate.
And I want to thank both of you, Nora Mitchell, John Morrow. This has been Brewocracy Now, and unfortunately, we're out of time. But we will be back next Thursday. Join in and help us help our city officials guide the way forward here in Port Townsend. We want to keep this place as good as it is now as long as we can. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thanks, Tim.